thank you, musicians. I appreciate you tonight. Hallelujah. How many of you brought your word with you tonight? If you have, pull it out. Get it open, turn it on, whatever the case may cause. I'm a fan of the written word. There's times when you're thumbing through the scriptures that the Spirit will lead you to places that would be very difficult to do if you're on an electronic device. Just saying. Just saying. Open your Bibles tonight, if you will, to the New Testament book of 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And we'll begin reading with the first verse. Hallelujah. And when you've found that, if you would please stand in reverence to the Word of God tonight. 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts. They are ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. And then I'm going to jump down to verse 12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Chapter 4, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn their ears away from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Would you bow your heads? Father, we heard the scriptures at the beginning, the onset of service tonight, that if the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in us, then shall He also quicken our mortal bodies if the Spirit dwell in us. So, Father, we stand here tonight as vessels that after this morning should be clean and emptied. Vessels that stand before You in need. Vessels that stand before You ready and willing to be filled by Your Holy Spirit. Vessels, Lord, that need to hear the pure Word of God. as you have given it, Lord. And I ask that that same anointing that was here this morning would come again tonight and just envelop this word into the hearts of your people, Lord, that we will have a clear mind of understanding when we leave this place. We will know where we have been, and we will know we have been with the Lord. Father, I ask it in Jesus' holy name. And everyone said amen and amen. You may be seated. She's trying to help me. Evidently, she thinks I need it. When the Lord gave me the word that we had this morning, and I was telling the Lord, Lord, you know, I've got two services I've got to prepare for, so I need two words from you. I'm not a theme preacher. I don't know that I've ever preached a series. I just figure I'm going to get what I need from the Lord when I'm in prayer, and He'll give me what to say, and that's the way we'll go about it. I've always operated that way. But it just so happened this time, and I even questioned the Lord a little bit when He was giving it to me. I said, Lord, it sounds an awful lot like what we heard this morning. And, of course, you don't argue really with God. You just learn to yield and obey. And so we're going to pick up in the same vein that we were in a little bit this morning, because obviously the Lord has something He wants to bring home. As I stand before you tonight, and I've had these conversations all week long with different ones, they didn't have any idea what the Lord had already given me. But the conversations were about modern day events and what's happening in the news. And I mentioned it just briefly this morning, what a devastation it is to in Japan and in Venezuela, the massive, even a smaller one in Northern California, the massive earthquakes that are happening all at one time, and how it is forever affecting the lives of people. Now, I understand the hardship, and I understand the difficulty when people have to endure such things. It's mind-numbing sometimes when somebody has to go through something that literally changes the course of their whole life through the death of loved ones. I was watching the news, and they had it live on TV, and one of the aftershocks came after people were running through the streets of this town of Venezuela. And there was a group of people standing in this street trying to help one another. There were injured people everywhere. And all of a sudden the aftershock came, and like a house of cards, I watched that building literally fall to the ground on top of those people. And I thought to myself, what a devastating thing. And then the Holy Spirit began to work in my mind. So I'm just going to bring it the way He gave it to me. We talked about it this morning, about having discernment. Exercising discernment. Being able to see the spiritual things that we need to see in these last days, because they are far more important than the physical things. And so I'm sitting on my couch and I'm watching this terrible shaking that is going on, and people not knowing what to do. They want to run, but some can't run. They want to hide. They want to try to, but you can't cover when it's an earthquake. Things break and fall and buildings collapse and things like this go on. And in my spiritual ear, I hear these words. Can you feel it? I've been around this boat long enough to know that it's the Holy Spirit beginning to speak to me. And He said it again, can you feel it? And I will say this to you tonight, there is a shaking that is going on in this world that goes far and above beyond what earthquakes are doing. There is a spiritual shaking that is going on. It's happening right now. And I know we've talked about it, but judgment begins in the house of the Lord. Long before the world ever gets judged for anything, judgment begins in God's house. And I don't know if you can feel it tonight, but I want to share with you what the Lord has put on my heart. I feel it. I've felt it for some time now. There is a shaking that is going on, and it's of a spiritual root. We talked a bit again this morning a little bit about it, about the separation that is going on in the house of God. God's beginning the separating process of sheep from the goats. Just hearing those words sends a shudder down my spine, because I know what it means. And it's not good for some. And so I'm like, Lord, okay, well, you've given me this word, and I hear in my spirit a shaking that is beginning to go on, that is going to shake the very foundations of the faith that people say that they have. The time of playing church is over. The time of the back and forth with the flesh and the things that we've allowed to come in and just take over is coming to an end. Not by your choice, but by His. And He worded it this way in the Scriptures when He said there in the beginning of chapter 3, He said, perilous times shall come. He spoke then, but He meant it for today. Because we are living in those perilous times. We are living. Perilous times means times of spiritual warfare, spiritual decay, and hardship. It speaks of spiritual turbulence preceding the end of the age. And I want to leave that last portion attached there. Not just that it's happening and that bad times are coming and difficult times are coming, but it's that these things are happening for a reason. And they're happening with greater intensity because we are just coming up on the end of the age. We talked about it this morning. We stand at the end of the of chapter 3 in the book of Revelation, where the seven letters were given to the seven churches, and the space and time for them to repent of those things was given just prior to the rapture of the church, which is where we are tonight. Perilous times, times of difficult spiritual warfare. I began to think to myself as I was pinning these things down, Lord, do you mean the spiritual warfare that, you know, that is going on in between the world and Christians and things? That is the extemporaneous. That's on the outside. The spiritual warfare that He is talking about here is the inward battle that you and I are running and fighting every day that we live. Perilous times are coming because God's beginning to shake things, and the Spirit of God is beginning to rise up with truth, with sound doctrine, with whatever thus saith the Lord, and it is being held up as a banner. And either we will, listen to my words carefully, either we will cavete and give in to what the Lord's Word is saying, or we will live in rebellion, and we will be one of those in the house of God that suffers the judgment of God because we have chosen to live in disobedience to the Word of God. Perilous times are coming. Inner turmoil in the spirit. Spiritual warfare, we already know about the war between the flesh and the spirit, but it's going to be a deeper dive. The Holy Spirit is not satisfied with sprinkling a little bit of fairy dust on you and send you off out into the world and expect you to defeat giants. No, there is a reckoning that is going to have to take place. There is a separating that is going on inside the individual, and God is beginning to wash away or cut away sometimes, as it were, those things of the world that we've held on to for so long and weren't willing to give them up. But the Lord says it's time that they're given up, and it's time they go away, and it's time they're washed away, and it's time they're cut off, and it's time to let these things begin, because we cannot be used of God the way that we are. We cannot be that church without spot or wrinkle, without blemish. We cannot be that church that is ready for the coming of the Lord in the condition that we are in tonight. So perilous times are coming, inner spiritual warfare in you. There is spiritual decay. It's abundant. It's all around us. There is spiritual hardship and spiritual turbulence. And we are just prior to the end of the age. We are living in difficult times, not just in the physical, but more importantly in the spiritual. Perilous times shall come. I want to read it. I don't want to skip over anything. Men shall be lovers of them own selves. It's twofold there. I want to deal with that just for a moment. I know there's a growing thing in churches that is beginning to espouse homosexuality as if it's okay, but it's not okay. Not in any way, shape, or form. But he said, perilous times are going to come and men shall be lovers of them own selves. I don't want to talk about that filthy stuff because that's all it is. It's of the devil. They have lost their natural affection. But it also means those that are full of self-indulgence. You know, the message of the hour for everything that comes to us in the world is do whatever feels right. Do whatever feels good. All the commercials are there so that you'll do whatever feels good. No boundaries. Did you hear that? No boundaries. Nothing to stop you from doing whatever you want to do. If you like it and it makes you feel good, you go right on ahead and do it. And you'll have a support network when you do. That is until you come to the Lord and you find out that He is demanding repentance from those evil things. And He is commanding a washing of the prideful self-indulgence that you have induced yourself in and have become so much a part of that it's difficult for God to deal with you because you're so full of yourself. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. They're boasters, proud, blasphemers. They're braggarts about self accomplishments, braggarts about self things. Churches that all they do is brag about how much money they have and how big a building they have and what their outreaches are and all of these things that they boast themselves on and they forget that they were once like as we were that were nailed down with sins and death hung around our neck because of our lifestyle until one day we heard the gospel of Jesus Christ and the message of hope came and it set us free from our sin and delivered us from our bondage, and they would seek to ensnare us in bondage again because they're all into the bragging and the pride of what man can do and what man can build. You remember I talked this morning about the Tower of Babel. That's exactly what built that tower, was men worshiping men and what their accomplishments could be. Until God came and tore it down and scattered them, you'd think we'd learn. He also said they were blasphemers. And it's hard for people to be able to sit today and tell you what a blasphemer is. They don't rightly know. But I'll give you just the simplest understanding of it that you can have. There are those in this world who say that this and that and the other are of the Spirit of God or are of God, and they are not. I'm going to say it again. The simplest form, and it goes much deeper, but the simplest form is those who say and do things and they say that it is of God and they say that it is of the Spirit when it is not of God nor of the Spirit. Our churches are full of these things as I stand here tonight. And what we fail to realize is those things that we say are of God and are not have become the stumbling blocks that lay before us and they prevent us from having a move of God and they prevent the Spirit of God from moving and flowing freely and operating in our church services. Our church services have become productions. They have become, I don't know, I hate to keep beating what I consider a dead horse, but it's just man and his own empire, man and his own creations, man and his own piece of the pie, and everything in the church today is about building your own empire bigger and better and stronger, and telling people that because you're bigger and better and stronger that it's of God, and if it's of God then it's full of the Spirit and all these other things, and there couldn't be anything further from the truth. blasphemers. Strange, the next one thrown in there. Disobedient to parents. Of all the things he's talking about, these spiritual epithets, he throws in something out of left field. Disobedient to parents. As I look out on the crowd tonight, there's not a whole lot of young people in here. But your age doesn't matter. I'm going to say it again. It's not a light thing that God takes of disobeying your parents. It was the first commandment of the Ten Commandments with promise. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days would be long on the earth. So clearly it's something that God takes very, very seriously. There is such a disrespect of parents in the land today. A lot of it put out there by the media, that every commercial and every movie and every television thing that they're producing nowadays has to do with throwing off the old whatever the parents say and just doing your own thing. And, you know, don't believe in the truth, you come up with your own truth. Well, we got a lot of people like that today. I don't even want to go there. The Bible says truth has fallen in the street and nobody has a heart for truth anymore. Disrespectful to parents. He said they were unthankful. This is the generation of the entitled. I know they call it generation, I don't even know what they call it anymore, Z or X or W, or maybe one of you that are here tonight can tell me what it is. I don't know. All I know is they're weird. Just throwing that out there. They have become the most unthankful group of people I've ever seen. Entitled. They don't want to work for anything. Everything ought to be given to them. Why not? We have ungodly government leadership in cities and states that tell them that they can have everything without working for it anyway. That's just unholy. A spiritual life that is so lax that when God looks at him, he doesn't see anything that's of a holy nature. Unholy, unthankful, unholy. Without natural affection. We talked about that in the first. How do I say this the right way? The Bible says, if you love them that love you, what thanks have you? But when you can love them that are less than worthy, when you can love them that don't love you, this is why the Bible said, pray for your enemies, those that despitefully use and abuse you. And when you're able to pray for them and you're able to love on them in the love that only Christ can give, that's the kind of love God is talking about. And we are without it in these last days. Lack of genuine love. Truce breakers. Broken words, broken promises. People can say things and it doesn't mean anything today. Used to be back in the olden days, you could give your word and shake a hand and it was as good as being written in stone. But not anymore. Today we have people that can't keep their word and their promises are empty and they're broken. False accusers. In case you don't know what that is, that's a fancy way of saying liars. I got it. The Bible says that all liars, did he say just certain kinds? He said all liars shall find their place where? In the lake of fire. Incontinent. Lack of self-control. Led by feelings and emotions. Boy, are we stricken with that one. Fear. fierce despisers of those that are good, overly zealous with anger and riotousness, that have become to a place to where, I'm going to say this from my perspective, I don't think I've ever lived in a time where you can be a person who tells the truth, and because you tell the truth, you're the hated one. And because you stand firm on the foundation that God gives, you're the hated one. And when you stand and you deliver that word of truth, you are called names, you are ridiculed, when I say they turn away from you, I'm not just talking about people on the street, I'm talking about family members. I'm talking about people that used to be friends. I'm talking about mates sometimes. That when you stand on the Word of God and what is whatsoever, well, you're just too critical. Or you're just too judgmental. Or I got to tell you one I've heard even recently. Well, you're just not interpreting things right. We talked about that this morning. You don't have to interpret what is spelled out plainly. It's just there. Paul said, do you hate me because I tell you the truth? And the truth to that is, yes, they did. They hated him because he told the truth. Do you think you're going to be any different in these last days? As God is separating the sheep from the goats and you're having to live on the word of truth, and God is going to put you in predicaments? You're going to find yourself in situations where you're going to have to declare said truth. And it's going to have to meet the muster. It's going to have to meet the test. It's going to be tested by God, not the individual. It's going to be tested by God, and you're going to have to take a stand. And depending on where you have chosen to stand is going to decide whether or not you succeed or whether you fail. Now, when I talk succeed and fail, I don't mean the result of a matter. I mean the way that God means it. And that is whether or not you have succeeded in obeying what He has written in the Word, or whether you have failed whatsoever He has written in the Word. How many of you know, and I'll say it again, I said it this morning and I'm going to keep repeating myself because the Lord said to do it, that in these last days God is holding up His own Word. He's not standing on a commentary. He's not standing on ideological missives from people that don't know what they're talking about. He's not talking about feelings or emotions. He's not talking about what people have experienced. He's not talking about this or that or the other, or what denomination so-and-so says, or what movement so-and-so says. In the end time, it's going to be one thing and one thing alone. The book was delivered into the hands of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God that was slain before the foundations of the world. And it's when He opens the book, you and I are going to have to stand and give an account to God for whatsoever is written in the book. Not what's written in your bylaws, not what's written in your statements of faith, not what's written in the doctrines of what the church says it believes. It's going to be on whatsoever the Word of God says. And you and I are going to stand before God and we are going to give an account. And that's why I'm as hard as I am, and that's why I say the things that I do, because I don't want you to be one of those that has to stand there and hang your head in shame and say that nobody ever told you that you had to toe the line, and nobody ever told you that you had to keep the Word true, and you had to keep it pure, and you had to live by it. Truth is fallen in the streets and nobody wants it anymore. Then I'll go down in my last days here on earth proclaiming and declaring and telling and living the truth of God's holy word, no matter what and no matter who. Traitors. No loyalty whatsoever. Petty, high-minded. You know what that means. Self-exaltation. I want to put it in different terms. When it says that they are heady and high-minded, it's men that have been placed in positions of power, whether it be in ministry or wherever, and they're so full of themselves. I alluded to it this morning, and those that have taken the truth of God's holy word and they have mishandled it and they have twisted it and they have contorted it to fit whatever it is that they're trying to say. These are the kind of men I'm talking about. And they're ministers, they're pastors, they're teachers, they're so-called prophets and evangelists and all these other things, and some that are made up that aren't even in the Bible, and they throw them out there anyway, and they're putting out this product, and they are choosing very carefully the scriptures that they want to manipulate to fit whatever their product is, and that's what they're putting out there. And I'm here to tell you tonight, and we'll get to it here in a few minutes, where the Bible says that the day of that stuff is coming to an end. I need you to hear me. I said it's coming to an end. The day of the self-proclaimed prophets is coming to an end. What are you talking about? Well, the Bible says very clearly, if a prophet says thus and so, and the Lord says thus and so, and it doesn't come to pass, he's a liar. I know that's harsh, but it's true. And many more such things that the Bible lays out there and says that this is the way that it's going to be. And if we know that it's going to be that way, should not we be more careful? Heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. I had a strange conversation with somebody in the family the other day. And they were talking to me about one of our family members that pastors a church. And I'm not meaning to throw off on anybody, don't take me wrong. But somewhere in the conversation came up that they were having to cancel their Sunday night service because people just didn't want to attend, having more pressing matters. Bible says that they will be lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. There are things that have come up that they deem more important than, and it comes, you'll say this and they'll say, well, that's not what it is, but it is. They have come up with things that is more important than their relationship with God. Because whether you realize it or not, the reason that we come to the house of God is for maintenance. Let me explain myself. When I say we come to the house of God for maintenance, we come here to offer our gift unto the Lord. We come here to offer our praise and our worship unto God, and God's going to test it to see whether it be true or not, whether it's in the Spirit or whether it's not. And in the process, because God is the kind of God that He is, He will always give us whatever it is that we need that will help us along our way. Let me explain myself again. It is the Word of God, and I'm going to keep going back to this over and over and over again. Of all the things that we need in these last days, we need the gift of discernment. Of all the things, and listen, I know people are in a hard place, and I know people need healing, and I know people need a touch from God, and I'm not throwing off on that at all. But more than we need a great healing in our bodies, we need discernment in our spirits. More than we need God to do this, or do that, or do the other, we need discernment in our spirits. When we get true discernment, then we'll find ourselves on the right path to be able to approach God, to get the healing that we need from the Lord, and to be able to get the answers to prayer that we need from God to answer. I don't know about you, but I'm sick and tired of hearing people that are supposed to be saved and serving God always complaining all the time about how they pray all the time, and they can't seem to get any answers. And they lift up their voice to God, but they can't seem to get anywhere with the Lord. And it seems no matter how many times they pray about something, nothing seems to ever happening. Nothing ever seems to break through. And I was in the middle of this conversation, and it just dawned on me, it's just the way the Lord works. I said, I wonder if in all of their asking, if they haven't asked the Holy Spirit to come and clean them up, if they haven't asked the Spirit of God to bring the Word of God into their heart and begin to do the dividing that we so desperately need in these last days. I'm here to tell you that before God will answer these great swelling prayers that you have, and just let me tell you, He's the kind of God that will answer those kinds of prayers. But I promise you this, He is not a God that can be manipulated, and He cannot be pushed this way or that way or the other way. And you're not going to make a deal with God. God doesn't make deals. He has one way, and that is the way of holiness, and that is the way of righteousness. And when we learn to put ourselves in that place and allow the Holy Spirit of God to deal with us, then we can go boldly before the throne of grace and make our petitions known unto the Lord, and the Lord will hear the cries of His people, and the Lord will answer the prayers of His people. I feel the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hey, give me a minute. Ooh. false spiritual fronts, where it says they have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. You know, do you understand what that means? That means people that get up and they talk about spiritual things, but when you look deeply at their life, there's nothing really there. And they put on a good show that they're a child of God. And they're this and they're that and the other. But when you listen to them and you compare their words to the Word of God and you find out they're liars, and it's just a big show that they're putting on. Boy, aren't we the church of the age of the show? I don't know what you come to church for, but I don't come here to be entertained. And I don't come to be cheerleaded, especially ugly cheerleaders like me. I don't need to hear that. I don't need to be a part of that. I don't need somebody to work me up or work me down or work me in or work me out. I just want to get to a place where I can come before the Lord and say, Lord, I've had a hard time and I need a touch from you, the kind of touch that makes the things of the world fall off of my life, the kind of touch that makes me feel convicted when I hear the word of the Lord and it speaks to the things in my heart and in my life. And I need those things to fall off so that I can walk before you in holiness and in righteousness. Abraham walked before the Lord in purity, in holiness, and in righteousness. And because of that, God endeared Himself to him. You get what I'm after? I don't know about you, but I'm sick and tired of just trying to tread spiritual water. I want to launch out into the deep. And I want to know that when I get out into the deep, whether I think I can swim or whether I cannot, I want to know that I know that I know that when I get out into the deep, there is a God that has already heard my cry. And He has already set my course. He has already made the crooked way straight before me. And that if I'll just obey Him and I'll walk in faith, then I have no doubt that no matter what I see, and no matter what I hear, God has already given me the word. I am assured victory. I am assured the answers to prayers. I am assured this because I walk clean with God. From such. We haven't learned that part. He said, from such turn away. Why do you indulge it? Why do you indulge that nonsense? I get people get mad at me all the time. I know. You find that hard to believe. But it's true. Oh man, I want to go by people that should know better now. Hear stuff coming from their phones and I'm like, what in the world? What are you doing? What are you indulging yourself in that garbage? Turn away. Oh, would Jesus really turn away? Oh, I promise you He would. It's His word. From such turn away. They're ever learning. Oh, they get smarter by the day if you listen to them. But they never come to the knowledge of truth. I have known people that have had what they call a photographic memory. They can quote you stuff from the Word of God from front to back. But to live for God, they know not how. No, I don't think you heard me. They can quote you scriptures in and out and up and down. But to truly live for God, they know not how. They are ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, hear this word. I need you to hear it. It's a characteristic of the church of these last days like never before. As they withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. And because they resist the truth, they are men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. And I need you to hear this last word. But they shall proceed no further. I told you there was a shaking coming. They shall proceed no further. Their folly will be manifest to all men, as was also Jannes and Jambres. You remember the story of Jannes and Jambres that withstood Moses? Moses had a rod that God said, I'm going to work through this rod. And he told him, cast it down before Pharaoh. Well, Pharaoh brought out his magicians, Jannes and Jambres. And they did cast down their sticks. And they all turned into snakes, all three of them. And that's just how the enemy works. He always tries to mimic God. But by the time the story was done, the rod that Moses cast down that turned into a snake swallowed whole the other two snakes. You know, that's no little thing. I need you to hear that tonight. What does that mean to you and I as believers? What does that mean on a spiritual context? That means when you stand for the truth and you stand on the Word of God and you do what God says do, that when you find yourself in situations where the enemy tries to puff himself up and he tries to make himself seem just as powerful as God, I want you to know that if you'll stay true to God, God will stay true to you. And when the end of your story is told, the snake that God has worked through you, that He told you to cast down before Pharaoh, will swallow up the snakes of those that have withstood the truth and have become men of corrupt minds. You don't have to be afraid of the big mega churches telling you this and telling you that and telling you that you are marginalized because you no longer can do what they can do and you can't even hold their hat for them. I've got news for you. Throw their hat on the ground. You stand on the Word of God, because when the shaking is done and when the tossing to and fro is done, they that stand upon the Word of God are still going to be standing where God placed them. And I promise you, you hear my words tonight, everyone that is in the opposite position is going to find themselves faltering and failing, and buildings are going to fall on top of them, and the judgment of God is going to come. He said that their folly is going to be manifest unto all men. There hasn't a week gone by for many months now that we haven't heard of a large mega church pastor that has fallen into sin, and whether it be through embezzlement, or whether it be through lewd life living, or whether it be through adultery and fornication, or whatever the case may call for, or whether they're just plain liars. God is manifesting it all. And I got news for you. He's just getting started. He's not done. I told you many years ago that the time was coming that God was going to pull the cover off the pulpit, and He's going to pull the cover off the pew, and God's going to reveal all of these things, and their folly is being made manifest. But if you've gone before the Lord and you have travailed before the Lord and you have repented before the Lord, then you are going to stand in the place called the right. And when you stand there, God will be with you, and God's Spirit will envelop you, and He will give His angels charge over you, just as He did the Lord. He said, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead. When's He? At His appearing. You've heard the statement. I've said it to people. You know, you're going to go to hell for that. It used to be a favorite thing we'd tell our brothers and sisters growing up. I remember I couldn't have been 5 or 6. It's funny the way memories work. And we had this big old... How many remember station wagons? And there was a seat up front, and then there was the seat and the bench seat in the middle. And then there was the open cavern in the back that held all the little ones. Nowadays, you go to jail for that stuff. And I remember it was my turn. I'm one of 8 now, you got to remember. And it was my turn to sit in the seat, where I didn't have to sit in the back on my knees or sitting on my butt and feeling every tiny little bump that you ever go across. And it was my turn. And we took turns. One of my older brothers jumped himself into that seat, and the car was full. And when Dad's ready to go, Dad's ready to go. There's no waiting around. And so I had to get in the back with the other heathens. And I'm sitting back there, and I'm fuming. And I'm mad because he took my spot, and it was my turn to ride in the comfortable seat. And I remember looking up at him, and I said, I want you to know, you're going to hell for that.
wasn't called yet. And clearly I wasn't sanctified yet. You're going to hell for that. But I tell you, and I need you to hear me clearly, there's a lot of things that people are embracing in churches in these last days, and they think they're getting by with it. But I'll repeat the phrase, and I don't say it lightly, but you're going to go to hell for that. Did you hear me? You're going to go to hell for these things if you don't return. Feel the Lord. If you don't repent, if you don't make things right, listen to me. If you don't give your heart to the Lord, you're going to miss it. Do you hear me? If you don't give your heart to the Lord, you risk going to hell. Hell is real. I don't care what preachers are saying today. I can't believe the amount of Pentecostal preachers that are coming out and saying they don't believe in a hell. Maybe they're the same kind of knuckleheads that think you're going to be there with friends. I don't know. I've preached on that before. I preached it here. But hell is a place of outer darkness. If you got friends there, you ain't going to know it. There is weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. There is utter turmoil and torment. And it's not just for a moment and then it's done. That's why the opportunity to accept Christ now and deliver Him now is so important. Because eternity is weighing in the balance. And I don't want anyone to go there. I really don't. I've got people, I'll be honest with you, I don't like them. I just don't like them. But I promise you, I got to love them in Christ. And I wouldn't want not a one of them to stand in that place. Where the worm dieth not. Where you cry, but you're never heard. Where you're in pain, but it's never alleviated. Where you suffer in torment, not just from the pain of being in hellfire, but from being eternally separated from light and eternally separated from God. I don't understand the turmoil people are having. Serving God is the greatest thing on earth. Did you hear me? Serving God is the greatest thing on earth. It doesn't mean you'll have everything. It doesn't mean all of these things that these stupid prosperity preachers tell you that you're going to have. And God wants you to be rich and well. The Bible doesn't say none of that garbage. It does say that all those that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Things are going to happen. It's just part of the way that it is. Part of it's stupid mistakes that we make on our own. And part of it is God trying us like gold that is tried in the fire. And He's laid all of this out here. And He's telling you. And He's using this preacher for one to tell you that the time is coming to an end. We're nearing the end of the age. The rapture of the church is about to be upon us. But so is the judgment of God about to be upon you. And are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready to let the Lord have absolute control? How many of you know God doesn't want to just control part of you? He wants it all. I need to say that again. He doesn't want to just control part of you or part of your life. He wants it all. Because He can't do anything with it unless He has it all. So here we are. What are we going to do? What are we going to do with the word that God gave us this morning and that God is giving us here tonight? What are we going to do with it? What are we going to do with it? The choice is yours. I can't make you do anything. God knows I can't. If I could, I wouldn't be preaching half the messages I preach. I can't make you do a thing. It's not my job. I can't worry about whether you accept or reject what I preach unto you, what the Lord told me to give. That's His responsibility, not mine. The results of the matter are up to God. They're not up to me. But I'm imploring you. Don't let this moment pass you by. For we are on the cusp of the coming of the Lord. And it's time to get your house in order. Would you stand to your feet tonight? Your feet. I don't know, maybe some of you are from Kentucky and you got feet, so I don't know. We ought to live every day with eternity in view. Looking for, expecting. The Bible said that Jesus is coming back after those who are looking for His appearing. Are you looking for His appearing? Are you looking to be caught up? I know the Bible doesn't use the word rapture. But just work with me a little bit. We have a little thing called translation in the English language. And the phrase that the Bible uses, to be caught up, is the same in the English as rapture. Just so you don't say we're teaching things that aren't in the Bible. Are you looking to be caught up? I was going to work the other day, and I had been praying, and I just, you know, I love the Lord so much. And there was this old song that came to me, and I've mentioned it to Tim before. And I'll just say by faith, he's probably working on it. Name of the song is, "This May Be the Cloud He's Coming Back On." I'll just give you a little ditty of it because I like it and I'm not really too concerned whether you do or not. Early one morning, walked out the doorway, stopped to look up to the sky. I was thinking that this may be the exact day that Jesus would sound forth the cry. Oh, there was nothing but blue skies with one little white cloud slowly slipping along. Well, I got so excited that I shouted out loud, "This may be the cloud he's coming back on. And this may be the cloud he's coming back on. For we all know that it's not long. The signs of the learning point to his returning, and I've got a longing for home. I keep my eye on the sky, and I do what he says to. Soon I will hear Jesus cry. Gabriel's trumpet will sound, and I'll lift off the ground to the cloud that he's coming back on." This world is not my home. As the saying goes, I'm just a pilgrim passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. That's right, you all heard it. I want to go to be where He is. I'm not looking to escape a world that doesn't care for me or wants to put me to death, not any way, shape, or form. I'm just looking to be where He is. I'm looking for Him to return. I've travailed many mountains. I've walked through many valleys. I've stood many times all by myself. But the Lord has always been with me. And there is a longing in my heart to be where He is. And because I want to be where He is, hear me clearly, there is nothing that the Lord can come to me and ask me to give up that I wouldn't do it. There's nothing that has such a hold on me that would overtake my love for being where He is. Now you know why I said what I did this morning about just those few moments in His. Pardon me, I still feel it. Just those few moments where His glory comes down like a cloud picking you up. And all of a sudden, every worldly care and concern just fades away. And all you see and all you feel is the light of His glory. The great love that He has just envelops you. I don't know any other way to say it, but it feels like the Lord giving you a hug like somebody would. I love hugs from my grandbaby. You saw her this morning. She didn't want to let go of her papa. Standing back there at the door, Dad came to get her. And she, I don't want to go. She had papa. And oh, I love that. There's nothing like it. Except when God reaches down. Makes me tender before the Lord. I was driving home from service this morning and I said, Lord, I want to thank You for those moments when we feel Your hand upon us. But if you're not right with God, you're not going to know it. Bow your heads with me. Father, I have obeyed Your Spirit. And I have delivered my soul in the word that You told me to. I ask You now for everyone under the sound of my voice that You have spoken to them in some way, in some form during this message. I pray You'll give them the space, the opportunity to repent, to come clean before You. I pray for those that aren't serving You. It's heartbreaking. Because we know the answer to everything that they need is in You. And yet they won't serve You. God, I pray that a spirit of conviction will fall upon their world. And that somehow, some way, You will break through the darkness that binds them. You're the great chain breaker. And there's no chain so heavy, and there's no chain of bondage so thick that You're not able to break through and bring deliverance to them. Break every chain. Break every form of bondage. The dark veil that covers their minds, break it in the name of Jesus. Cause them to fall in love with You. That they may be saved. That they may be right. Those of us that are listening, Lord, may You clean up everything in our life, everything in our heart. Don't leave any stone unturned.
everything that we may walk uprightly before You. And that we may turn and begin to look with eternity in view. And we will begin to long and we will begin to look for the soon return of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we will not entangle ourselves with the affairs of this life. I ask You in Jesus' name, knowing that there is power in that name, I ask You in Jesus' name to do this tonight. Fathers, we leave this place and we go back to our worlds, whatever they are. Don't let this message slip from view. Don't let it leave our minds. But as we go back out into this world, may this word ring over and over and over in our minds. That we would then purify ourselves and live righteously before You in this evil and present day world. I'm asking it in Jesus' name. And the church said amen. And amen. God bless you tonight. Please remember the announcements. And may the Lord be with you.